Our scripture reading today, which is not printed in your bulletins, because as quickly as we pulled this off, we could do many things. One was not printing a scripture bulletin in your bulletin, so you can just follow along as I read. It's from Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. So when Paul asked me to speak today, I was reminded of a line I once heard, that everybody's got one good sermon in them. I don't know if that's true, but I do know I have about 15 minutes of content, so here we go. Paul, originally, the plan for this was for this to be where Paul lets you write your questions and then him and Laura answer your spiritual questions. I told him that is where I draw the line, that I don't feel qualified to provide direct answers to your spiritual questions, although I do feel qualified to speak to you. But I will allow a few minutes at the end if the mood strikes anybody, to share any reflections they have on what I say today. So Paul suggested I read a story I shared during a deacon's meeting a couple of years ago. The story was written by one of the writers for Sesame Street, who also has a child with special needs. This story, to me, is about being grateful for what you'd have, for what you have, and I'd like to share it with you. And then I'll link it back to the scripture reading and also some moments from my life. Welcome to Holland by Emily Pearl Kingsley. I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability, to try and help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland," you say. "What do you mean, Holland?" "I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, disease, and famine. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy some new guidebooks. You must learn a whole new language. And you will meet a whole new group of people that you never would have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy. It's less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills and Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going to Italy. And they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And the pain of that will never, ever go away. Because the loss of that dream is a very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to go to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special and the very lovely things about Holland. So this story to me brings to life some of the verses from chapter 4 of Philippians that we started with. I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and want. The story I read was written about raising a child with special needs. But the first time I read it, I thought about three times in my life where I was doing the equivalent of living in Holland, but spending a lot of time thinking about Italy. When I was 4 years old, my father divorced my mother, leaving her along with me and my 8-year-old sister. He started another life, another family, and throughout the rest of our lives, and to this day, we rarely hear from him. I spent a lot of my childhood and even into my college years wishing he was still a part of my life. I had a vision of Italy in my mind, and it always involved him. As I grew older, I gained the ability to reflect and accept, and I realized my story is not one of a missing father. It's one of an incredibly loving mother. My mother could have reacted with anger or frustration as I constantly inquired about my absentee father. Instead, she reacted with amazing love and patience. My mother did the work of two parents, and she did it incredibly. And I consider it one of the distinct blessings of my life that I was able to read her this story and tell her that she was and is my Holland, and that I wouldn't change a thing. My second Italy story, and you can bet I'm gonna tell my mom that these are recorded so she can listen to it from home. My second Italy story involves an imagined version of my life where I glide through parties with a cocktail in my hand, laughing, talking to people, putting my one drink down and heading home for the evening. I gave up on this imaginary version of my life 17 years ago, which was the last time I had a drink of alcohol, after years of trying to pretend that my drinking was not hurting me and everyone in my world. Prior to that, I was riding what seemed like a helpless, never-ending merry-go-round of alcohol-fueled highs, followed by shameful and embarrassing lows, always thinking that the next time I drank was the time that I would get it right. It's fitting that Amazing Grace is our closing hymn today. Not planned, by the way, but maybe there is something to this whole place and God thing after all, because that song is the best description of my realization on Labor Day weekend of 2001, that for me, Holland is sobriety, and it's been a beautiful place. My final Italy story brings me back here to Southport Congregational Church. When my wife Jen gave birth to our children, we did what many parents do. We obsessively monitored their progress against every published milestone, and we completely freaked out if they fell behind on anything. And so it was when they didn't take to talking right on schedule, we hurried to a developmental specialist in Westport. Any of you that have met my children today know that this story has a happy ending, as they both started talking and have never shut up since then. I tell this story, though, because I'm sure at those times that Jen and I were very worried and unable to truly know what a blessing our situation was. The learning specialist we worked with was Lisa Ducey. And in many ways, just by listening and understanding two young, very nervous parents, I think Lisa helped me and Jen as much as she did our kids. For those of you that don't know Lisa, she is a member of our church. And when we finished working together, she invited us to visit her church here. And that's how we ended up at Southport Congregational Church. Not where we were originally flying to, but I think you'll all agree, a truly beautiful and special place. We all have our Hollands. where things aren't exactly what we hoped or planned for. But if you look carefully, you can find some very amazing things in Holland that you never would have found in Italy. I wanted to follow up the Holland story and the lessons I learned with another story that was sent to me by a colleague about 10 years ago that had a big impact on me, and I think it ties in well with the story I just told. So here we go. The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. Perhaps it's the quiet solitude that comes with being the first to rise, or maybe it's the unbounded joy of not having to be at work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning are most enjoyable. Sidebar, maybe for me, it's when aforementioned children are not talking and are still sleeping. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling toward the garage with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in another hand. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. Let me tell you about it. I turned the dial up on my radio in order to listen to a Saturday morning chat. Along the way, I came across an older sounding fellow with a golden voice. You know the kind. He sounded like he was born to be in the broadcasting business. He was telling whoever he was talking to something about 1,000 marbles. I was intrigued and stopped to listen to what he had to say. Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you very well, but it's a shame you have to be away from your home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 80 to 90 hours a week just to make ends meet. It's too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital, he continued. Let me tell you something that has helped me keep my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain his theory of 1,000 marbles. You see, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. Now, please note this was written 10 years ago and life expectancies I think have gotten longer since then, but I was too lazy to do the math to recalculate the number of marbles. The average person lives about 75 years. I know some live much more and some live less, but on average, folks live about 75 years. Now, when I multiplied 75 times 52, I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. Now, stick with me, Tom, I'm getting to the important part. It took me until I was 55 years old to think about this in any detail. And by that time, I'd lived through over 2,800 Saturdays. I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store and I bought every single marble they had. It took visits to several toy stores to round up 1,000 marbles. I took them home and put them inside a large, clear plastic container right here in the shack next to my gear. Every Saturday since then, I've taken one marble and thrown it away. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things in my life. There's nothing like watching your time here on Earth run out to help you get your priorities straight. Now let me tell you one last thing before I sign off. This morning, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figured that if I make it until next Saturday, then I've been given a little extra time. And the one thing we can all use is a little more time. And so with the time I was given today, those are my messages to you. We all get one wild and precious life. And the time we have is too precious to waste or use thinking about what might have been. May God bless our understanding of these stories and these messages. An adult beat social. So our announcements, an adult beat social will be held at Sasco Beach Friday, August 3rd, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., thank God. Bring your own drinks and chairs and an appetizer or dessert to share. You'll find us on the beach at the end of the parking lot. In our own backyard, our organization dedicated to bettering our community and our own backyard. Has several upcoming events. First, with an emphasis on homeless veterans, Homes for the Brave provides housing and services necessary for individuals necessary to return to a productive and meaningful life. So please join us after the service today to prepare the food, which will be served tomorrow at Homes for the Brave at 4:30 p.m. We'll be the servers and eat with the veterans. And the final In Our Own Backyard event for the summer and a great conclusion will be a barn cleanup next Saturday, August 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. Our beautiful new church barn houses many important supplies we utilize throughout the year, so help us organize the barn and then join us for a barbecue and square dancing once we finish. So since our In Our Own Backyard intern is here, Sydney, I have to ask, I assume there will be guided lessons for the square dance portion of the event. Is your father a square dancer, or?
Yes, I'd like to see.
You heard it here. You heard it here, folks. Square dancing. Okay, any more information can be obtained from Sydney, but be careful, you may commit yourself to square dancing before you know it. And a memorial service will be held for longtime member Marilyn Smith. That'll be held next Sunday, August 5th, here in the chapel at 3 p.m. Marilyn died on March 24th, earlier this year. As we pause for a moment of prayer, obviously, please keep Paul Whitmore, his father, his family, in your hearts and in your prayers. Also, please keep Ann DeWare and Jen MacArthur in your prayers, as Jen's father died last week. So our condolences, Ann, to your family. And please do the same for all other members of our church, our families and world who are in need of healing and love. With those prayers in our hearts, let's take a moment of quiet reflection to pray. Loving God, thank you for bringing us together in this beautiful and peaceful sanctuary. We know, God, that you have created us in your image. Let us remember that we are embodiments of your love, and that this love, when we feel it and accept it, can be the key to the locks on the chains that we see everywhere in life. Let us share your love. Help us now, God. Help us let go of our little distractions and hold close to the ones that we love. Let us remember that life is a collection of moments, perfect moments, like a hug from a child, a warm conversation with a family member or dear friend, or the beautiful simplicity of a sunrise. In the midst of this hectic world, we pray for the serenity to live one day at a time and enjoy one moment at a time. This morning, God, we join our voices with all the prayers of the people of your world. We pray for peace. We pray that your guiding hand may touch all people and all nations, that we may treat each other with compassion and understanding, with love and forgiveness, and with a willingness to throw our hatred down. In today's world, our differences are magnified and focused on and reinforced. God, we pray that you help us change our focus from that which divides us to that which binds us. Let us remember that no occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. Let us choose love. And let us remember, in a world so demanding of us, that it will be okay, and you will love us anyway. And God, let us choose gentleness, remembering that nothing is won by force. If we raise our voices, let it be only in praise. If we clench our fists, may it only be in prayer. And if we make demands, may they only be of ourselves. God, remind us that we are spiritual beings. When our bodies are dead, our spirits will soar. Let us refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. Let us be drunk only by joy. Let us be impassioned only by faith. And let us be influenced only by God and by what is good. We pray that we may choose the right way and that we follow it to the end. For those of us who have escaped a life wasted, we pray that we never go back again. And God, let us remember the power of forgiveness, remembering that it's not just other people we need to forgive. We also need to forgive ourselves. All these prayers we give to you now, knowing that you hear us and that our prayers help to change this world. Let us remember, God, that you are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in our times of trouble. You make wars cease to the end of the earth, and you burn the chariots with fire. May you inspire us to take our greatest pain or challenge and make it our life's message. As we continue through this week, we pray that we may walk in companionship with you along the way. And we pray that we may keep our feet upon the path that leads onwards and upwards. All this we pray in your name. Amen.